You're listening to TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com.
Internet Talk Radio. Let's get back to Barely Legal. Once again, here's Robin Earle and David Spada.
Okay, about 39 past the hour. This is the Barely Legal Show. You're listening to me, Robin Earle, and my partner, David Spada, attorney David Spada. Hey, you look casual today, man. No court this morning?
Today, I got an off day from court. I was just doing some paperwork. Got to be in court all day tomorrow, so just craziness.
Yeah, you look good in that that mauve,
Salmon.
Know, if people come on to TalkZone.com on the website, you can actually see that we got three webcam cameras in here, and then you can see what we look like. What the heck? I know we're, of course, I'm the guy with the cap on with the B on it, but anyway. Hey, let's bring on our last guest for the day, and I wanted to spend some time with him on the air because he's got a lot to say, David. He's a man with a lot of conviction, and that would be my former Husky teammate, Kevin Richardson, out in Sacramento, California. How you doing, Kevin?
Hey, Robin. How you been, brother? It's nice talking to you again. I appreciate the our lengthy phone call we had the other day for, like 3 hours we talked?
Well, it was over two for sure, and it was really good catching up. And it's always good to hear, guys that you went to war with on the gridiron. And heck, we hadn't talked to each other for 33 years. And, of course, we reconnected through a good friend of ours, Russ Vincent, who's out there in the Seattle area coaching and doing what he does best and helping young men develop and so forth. And then, of course, I got really, engrossed into your convictions of, how you feel, what you're doing. And I didn't really know at the time of some of the what you were battling mentally while you were at University of Washington. Why don't you just give us a little bit of background about that?
Well, sure. The way this thing kind of, this book of mine that I'm writing right now, the way it kind of got going was because of those experiences in college. And I got to thinking about, how my life had played out since that point in time and, where it was going and where I wanted it to really head. And, and it was like September of 2008, we had a 36-year high school reunion. And, some of these classmates of mine I hadn't seen since, graduation in 1972 from high school. And I ran into one of my buddies that we were both all-conference defensive players. And, I had seen Mark in that whole period of time. And we got to talk a little bit. And he told me what he was doing. And I went, wow, man, you really made a name for yourself. And I got to thinking. And then he asked me, he goes, well, hey, you end up playing pro ball? And I said, well, yeah, my body kind of gave out. We had a couple things going on, so I didn't really get into it. And that kind of started the wheel turning for me to kind of, take a retrospective look and recall some times in my life where, I had really big dreams. And then they started to kind of, slide a little sideways because of certain turns of events that took place. And, and I got to thinking, I need to take a little harder look at this thing. So I made the decision in like March. Actually, it was like 2 days ago, a year ago. It was on the 29th of March last year that I kind of started looking at some things. And then about a month later, I started Googling some of our old teammates just because I hadn't seen them. Like you, Robin, I hadn't seen you. I knew you played for the Bears and did a few things, but I lost touch with you and what you were up to in your life. And, so I thought, I'm going to start looking around. So I Googled a few people, and I found out what they were doing. And one of the first people that I came across was my old training partner, Dave Pear.
Dave Pear. We're just looking at his website right now.
Oh, yeah. Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what David Spada, my partner here in studio, he goes, hey, he's got a website.
DavePear.com.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does. Dave and I, Dave was a year ahead of me and 2 years ahead of you, of course.
Right.
And, he was one guy that, when I went to Washington, I really had this fire. I loved to train. I loved to work out. I wanted to be the best that I could be at everything. And, I had this real emotional core. I wore it on my sleeve all the time. And Jim Mora, my defensive line coach in my junior and senior year, he used to always tell me, he says, Kevin, you're an emotional guy. You remind me of Herb Orvis, who played for me at Colorado, and then Herb went on to play for the Detroit Lions and stuff. And, I got to thinking about, my emotions and things and what drove me and all that. And, and then with Dave, it was an interesting setup because, we were pretty much polar opposites when it comes to personality. I was a kid that was raised, to be a little more sensitive, a little bit more caring. And Dave, of course, he's a relentless pursuer of whatever it was he put his mind to. and he didn't let anything stand in his way. And, you know, I remember this one time that we were training in a weight room, and, you know, you get down the old pit below the Tubby Gray's building where you and I and Russ and Boris and mm-hmm. Scotty Nielsen and all mm-hmm. of our crew used to hang out and just pump it, you know, and you get in there at a point in time and you're a little earlier so you can get your routine going. Then all of a sudden the crew guys start showing up and some more track guys start showing up, and it tends to get in the way of your routine. And this one particular day, I'll never forget this. There was one of the crew guys that was on one of the pull machines, and we just got done with a upper body workout, and we were starting to do the tertiary workout to enhance the chest stuff. And we get over there and we're starting to approach this machine, and this crew guy, he's just sitting there, and he won't move. And Dave walked over to him, looked him right in the eyes, and says, "If you don't get out of the way, I'm going to break you in half." You know?
And yeah, that was Dave.
That's Dave. You know?
Yeah, that's Dave.
So, you know, for me, that was good, because an attachment with Dave was going to give me a different mindset about pursuing football. Because I, as a kid, my parents had held me back. One day, I think I was like 8 or 9 years old, Robin, and I'd seen this TV show where this cowboy had jumped out of this tree onto a passing, you know, wagon train or something like that, you know. And so I was out in the front yard of my house as a kid, and I was playing with a couple of my friends, and I was up in the tree. So I thought about that TV show, and I jumped down on one of my friends, and he was crushed. I mean, he laid there. My mom came running out of the house, and from that day forward, Robin, it was like, you need to be careful. You need to slow down. You need to take it easy, because you're bigger than these other kids. You're going to hurt somebody, maybe kill them. So it was like, whoa, come back here, horsey. Let's slow down a little bit. Well, that was me in college, and that was the way it stayed until Dave and I got together and started to bring about a different mindset, you know, and it did started to move things forward for me in terms of football in the mental side of the game. But the training that we did, and you and I shared, and Russ and Boris and our other friends, that was probably the key part for me with these legacy friendships that were formed. You know, on the football field is one thing, but you've got this other set of friendships that are developed away from the field that become so special too. And Boris Chambel, you know, and along with Russ, were one of the famous Fab Four from the University of Washington, where they swept the field events, you know.
Yeah, I'll interrupt you just one quick second here to give Dave fill in a little bit. The University of Washington track team was pretty special. I was part of that team. And we went to the Pac-8 then, and we swept all the weight events, discus, hammer, the javelin, and the shot put.
Yeah.
Never been done before, ever.
I don't think it has been repeated.
No, and never repeated.
Did you do it the right way?
We did. Well, you know what? And Boris, my throwing partner, was a Canadian national champion. Didn't he win the Pan American Games? He corked one out there about 217, 218, which was back then in the 70s. That was monster throw.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely monster throw. I was just showing David the picture you sent over to me in 1976, but that's why we nicknamed you Guns.
Yeah.
Because you had the guns, man.
That was Pear, you know. We started working out, and he goes, "Man, look at them guns." You know, "Hey, Gunner, what's going on?" That was his comments to me all the time, and it, you know, kind of stuck. And then, you know, Boris, he was so creative all the time with his little nicknames. I mean, you know, calling you Robinski Sitch and Russ Ruski Sitch and me Kavinsky Sitch.
He had the nicknames, didn't he?
Oh,
man.
He had this great creative mindset. You know, Boris and I, you know, getting back with this reconnection and these legacy friendships that, you know, is a big part of this book of mine and whatnot. He's a chiropractor up in Toronto, Canada. He's been doing that for years. And, you know, I think he still holds a Canadian national record.
I think he does. Yes,
you know,
he does.
It was amazing because, you know, I had one of the chapters in my book. It's, I think it's the sixth chapter. I'd have to look back to refer to, but it's called The Boys. And, we had a group that we lived together starting in January 1976.
Am I in it?
I left school in April 1977. And, These guys, it was Boris Chambel and Fred Luke. And Fred Luke, of course, was on the 1972 Olympic team as a javelin thrower.
Right.
And then myself, you know, with the football and everything else. And then Mark Scott. And Marco was one of Marv Harshman's special guys. He was like the sixth man, or if he didn't start as an outside shooting guard or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had this really competitive household. And, you know, we'd come home and we'd start sharing a few little stories. And
that was the Fijis, right?
No, actually, that was my fraternity house.
Oh, well, yeah, you were what, Phi Delta?
No, I was a Fiji.
A Fiji, right, yeah, I was a Lambda Chi Alpha. They called us the Lamb Chops.
Yeah.
Weren't there athletic dorms back then where all the athletes lived together and had nice little buffets?
Yeah, only during your freshman year. Remember, Kevin, freshman year, you had to stay down by the crew house? okay?
Oh, yeah.
Where all the freshmen had to stay.
Yeah.
You know, but we did get three meals a day. That was great.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're having a hard time catching a meal, that's a great place to be. I mean, I you know, some of those, you know, Robin, some of those things in my book, Chapter 4, Dogtown, it talks about getting into those friendships. The guys, I mean, the very first day when you show up, I mean, in my situation, I'd come up early about a week ahead of time when I was staying with my my great aunt at her house on Lake Stillicum down in the Lakewood area, Tacoma.
Okay.
And, you know, my cousin Bob had played for UPS as a starting tackle, and he was a coach in the area, and he brought me up that very first day to report up to Husky Stadium. And Rob and I will always remember that very first day when you're pulling into the parking lot that used to be there between the Graves Building and Heckhead Pavilion.
Uh-huh.
And we're getting out of the vehicle, and one of the team managers walks up to me and he says, what's your name? You know, and I told him, and he says, okay, you need to take your stuff back down to that crew house and get unloaded and check in and get your room key and get your room organization. And I said, okay, cool. So we go down there, we do that, and we come back up, and we have our very first meeting, and there's some people. I mean, here is a brand new set of faces, like 60 guys sitting in this room. They're brand new freshmen, you know, walk-ons and scholarship athletes both. And you start thinking about those people and how they affected your life back then and how you're going to move forward. And, you know, I mean, my freshman class, you know, Ray Penny was one of my freshman teammates, and Chris Rowland and Alvin Burleson and Dan Lloyd and, you know, these kind of guys, Ronnie Olson, Frankie Reed. You know what I mean? We had a...
All played in the NFL. Yep,
We're all good friends. Matter of fact, you know, Champ and I have been talking a lot lately, and we're next Thursday. This is great, Robin. I don't think I told you about this or not. It just kind of happened. But next Thursday, Champ and I are going to jump on a plane out of Sacramento here, and we're going to fly up to Seattle. And on the 11th of April...
April, okay.
Jim Lambright is being inducted into the Shoreline Community College Hall of Fame.
Oh, terrific. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim was the head coach at the Huskies after James, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he was... Right. You know, the thing that's special about this thing, too, and these legacy friendships is that, you know, he recruited me along with Ray Jackson, and then he also recruited, of course, Al Burleson and Dan Lloyd and
mm-hmm,
stuff. So,
of course.
So Dan and I got to talking recently, and I sent this little link that I'd seen on the Husky website, and I told him what was going on, and he goes, I can go. And I went, oh, no, I'm writing my book, dude. I got to stay home and do some things. He throws this thing in my face, and okay, so I guess we're going to Seattle.
Gotcha.
Kevin, did you ever get frustrated that, you know, playing the NFL?
What's that?
Did you ever get frustrated that you never got a chance to play in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, I did. I mean, it was one of these things where, you know, I had trained so hard, and, you know, I got to tell you a little story. When we started two-a-days in the fall of 76, Don James had initiated this thing where like a little mini combine for the first day or two, you know, to see where everybody's stacked up and what kind of shape they're in and how they're going to, you know, filter in on the teams and stuff. And he always had this mindset, if you're in the top 22 ratings, that you should be starting for the football team, you know, and that's how he looked at things. You know, we did all these different things, you know, bench press and a mile run and a 40-yard dash and all that stuff. Well, I had trained so hard with what I did that we went in there in the weight room, and a week and a half before I got a 485-pound bench press. And so when I went in there, I tried to do that same thing, and I just missed it. So I just threw 465 in there. I got like five or six reps out of that thing. And there were some pro scouts standing around and saw this stuff. Well, we go back in the next day to get ready to suit up to go out for practice, and Mike Rohrbach comes running up to me. He goes, hey, Kev, guess what? And I go, what, man? He says, I just heard some scouts talking about you. And I said, well, what'd they say? And he says, they said you're the strongest defensive lineman in the country. And I went, whoa. You know, I mean, it made me feel good that, you know, what's going on. And it made me think about, you know what? I trained with Dave, you know, David Gaughan, you know, he's a third round pick, the Colts in 75.
75.
You know, and then went on, became the first all pro ever for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then he got a Super Bowl ring, a Super Bowl 15. And, you know, later on after that would happen. But, you know, and some of our other teammates that had gone on in front of us, you know, that were kind of those guideposts for us, Robin, as we were going through the program. And I said, you know what, I fit right in with this stuff. One of my other teammates, you remember Bob Martin, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah, Bobby and I were roommates along with Mike Nykrum and Mike Doho and a couple other guys. And, you know, when the 75 draft came around, we were standing in the kitchen of our house, and the phone rang, and I answered the phone, and it was Bart Starr. And I went, hello? And he says, yeah, this is Bart Starr. Is Bob Martin here? And I said, yeah, just a minute. So Bobby was right across. I go, hey, Bob, this is for you. And he gets on the phone, and his eyes light up, and he'd just been picked by the Packers.
By the Packers, right.
11th round or something that year. So, I mean, all these things were in my life. They were part of my existence, and I measured up.
Yeah.
So I fully well intended that I was going to, you know, I was going to play in the NFL.
Right.
And,
hey, Kevin, hey, I want to your book, okay, Out from the Shadows, My Dog Days Misdirection. Okay.
Right.
And we're up against the clock. We got about a minute and a half here.
Sure.
And I know that you expressed to me, I mean, what you're doing, I think, is tremendous, man. And I love your little quote at the end of your email. It just says that the temptation to quit will be greatest just before you're about to succeed.
That's right.
And
brother,
how true is that? I mean, you know, when you think about all the great leaders out there and the people who have accomplished things, man, you know, that temptation to quit is just before you have that real success. And, and I love what you're doing. This book is going to be tremendous when you get it out. And I think it should be a read that everyone should, pay attention to, because I think you got so much to offer. You were telling me some things, very deep, very emotional on Sunday that, you know, you were at the point of, your dream was crushed because you didn't play in the NFL, and you actually thought about suicide.
Yeah, I did. I was, you know, you peel back all those layers of emotion down to where you're holding, you know, your life in your hands, basically, and you're up against the final decision. Which way am I going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, thank God I made the right decision. But,
damn right you did.
You know, and that's the thing that has pushed me forward to this day. And it's that ray of hope that we all have.
Absolutely.
And this is where my book is going to bring people from the beginning to the end, and it's going to take them through the last 34, well, basically my life story. And it's going to take them, it's going to grab them by the heart, and it's going to lead them along.
There you go.
And see how things make a difference.
Yeah. Who was the best player, real quick, that you played against?
The best player, Anthony Munoz.
Good choice. Cincinnati Bengals, USC Trojan.
Oh man! Right. Let me share a little quick story with you.
We've got 10 seconds. The producer's waving at me, but anyway, we'll get you on down the road a couple times. Okay, I want to hear
when
more.
When the book comes out,
and we'll get you on. We'll get some promo on that. But anyway, hey Kevin, thanks for joining us, and I'll give you a call later in the day.
Right,
all right, buddy.
Brother. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Hey, you are listening to the Barely Legal Show here on TalkZone.com. I'm Robin Earl and my partner David Spada. What a great day. Tim Doyle.
The Swartz.
Chuck Swartzky. And what a great lineup we had today. A lot of fun today, man. It was great.
Desmond Clark got cut.
There we go. We'll talk to you next week.